The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Airgrid has issued a system alert as Ireland once again edged close to a power cut. The grid operator said the buffer between electricity demand and supply is currently smaller than optimum, meaning there was enough electricity to meet demand, but possibly not enough in reserve should something go wrong. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer at the ESRI. Good morning, Muireann.
Morning, how are you?
It seems incredible. Gorgeous sunny weather. We're not big into air conditioning in this country. So why were we in danger of running short of electricity?
Yeah, it is extraordinary, Pat. I mean, I remember, first of all, attending and then later giving lectures in power system economics. And we always gave the example of the August bank holiday weekend as the lowest point of system demand. And yet here we are a week later and we're seeing these system alerts. There's a number of things going on, but I suppose the unusual thing is just some generators that just aren't available right now. There's two types of outages when it comes to electricity generators. One is scheduled outages. So that's where you plan to turn your unit off in order to do some maintenance, and generators usually go on scheduled outage in the summer. Then the other is forced outages. And this is just, you know, we've all been there. You come down, you sit down into the car, you turn the keys and the car just doesn't start. Sometimes our units just don't work. And if you have a couple of them at the same time, that can cause issues. So we're just seeing that the balance between demand and supply, we just don't quite have the buffer on the supply side that we'd like to see. And that's the reason for these alerts.
Now, I've been looking at the Airgrid website, and they have a great app that's available, or I got it by just literally logging on to the web, and it shows the average fuel mix over the last 24 hours. And this is a bit dismaying, I suppose. Gas, 75.46%. So three quarters of our electricity generation in the last 24 hours was done by gas. But then coal, 9.13%. So we're still, you know, almost 10% dependent on coal generation. There was imported power as well. Then there were renewables, tiny, 3.8%, which suggests, I suppose, that on the hot, sunny day with the temperature inversions, that literally the wind did not blow, or not very hard.
No, it's true. We don't generally see an awful lot of wind generation in the middle of the summer. And now for what we call a winter peaking system like Ireland, that's not necessarily a huge issue, because when we have those really high wind levels, they tend to correspond with those really high demand levels in the middle of winter. But one of the things I'd be very keen to point out here is that this is not wind or solar's fault. We're meant to set up the system and the market so that we have enough electricity supply even when demand is very high and there's no wind at all, and also not to rely on the interconnectors. Now, the market doesn't seem to have delivered. There were generators that were contracted to be up and running by now that just didn't show up. So I think we certainly need to have a look at our capacity market to see, why is it the case that we're seeing these alerts? Why didn't we get the generators we expected to have? But it was never the case that we were relying on wind or solar to keep the lights on. So I want to make sure that's really clear, so that we're not necessarily blaming wind or solar when we never expected to use
them. I went deeper into the online application that's provided by Airgrid. And for the last week, renewables were at almost 20%, 19.71, which indicates, you know, before the heat wave really struck. Gas was at 61% over the week, coal at 14.1%. Then there are others, which would include things like Thurlock Hill, when it's providing power at peak. In other words, they pump up the water to the upper lake during off-peak when there's spare capacity, and then when they need the power, they let the water run down through the turbines and get power from Thurlock Hill, although it's small enough. And then going back, I'll just do it very quickly, to the month. The average for the month, we see that let's see if I can get it now. Renewables, 21.45%. So we're still hugely dependent on gas. And was there any coal in there? Yeah, there was a big chunk of coal in there at 13.61%. It's hard to see how we're going to get out of all of this without massive generation capacity coming in from gas in the near future. Now, Muireann, can you buy off the shelf gas generators?
Yes, but it's not particularly common. I mean, it is possible to kind of pack up parts of a CCGT from one country and ship them across the world and set them up there. I mean, obviously not the whole unit, but kind of some of the bits of the turbine and that kind of thing. But for the most part, something like a gas generator, you want to kind of plan it in advance. You're kind of working with local conditions. What's the grid connection like? Then obviously you have to get through the planning process and all of that kind of thing. So in general, electricity generation, even the quickest and the cheapest units, it takes time. And then there's also the fact that it's for that reason that we tend to try to contract years out. So we run an auction 4 years in advance saying who wants to build a power plant in 4 years' time, and then 3 years' time, and then 2 years' time. So this was all supposed to be taken care of, and it clearly hasn't worked. So I think we need to go back and take a look at our market design and say, what is it about these contracts for capacity that haven't worked, and why are we scrambling around trying to get emergency generation for this winter and next?
So even if we get all the gas that theoretically we need, we may not have the gas generators to use the gas that we get via the UK from Norway.
Yeah, and if you look at the emissions from the power system, they're actually higher this year than they were last year by quite a margin. And that's because, as you said, we're using a lot more coal than we expected to be using. We're using Money Point way more this year than we did last year. And the reason for that is just because we haven't had the gas generators available to burn the kind of gas we were expecting to burn. I mean, the fact that we're still using gas, this isn't a surprise. If you look at the Climate Action Plan, it includes new gas generation. We always knew that we would be using gas generators in the medium term, but it's more the fact that not only are we using the gas we expected to use, we're also using more coal that we didn't expect to use. We're relying more on imports, we're relying more on wind, and all of that is really because we don't have the generators that we expected to have.
Now, when you say there's an auction and people bid to supply the gas, presumably there's an auction in terms of the price per unit that will be offered by the grid to supply the consumer. Do we have any understanding as to why the people who bid for those and won those contracts did not deliver? I mean, is it simply supply chain issues because of the Suez Canal, China, the war in Ukraine and all of that? Or did people just walk away from contracts? And if so, are they bound by those contracts and might suffer financial penalty?
Yes, there is a financial penalty. One might argue that it's too low. So I think the specific question as to why didn't all of the generation that was contracted show up, it's probably all of the reasons that you mentioned. To be honest, this problem was even around last winter, and coming into last winter, you may remember we were concerned about electricity supply. That, of course, predates Ukraine. So I think this is more of a market issue, less of a Ukraine issue, although the situation in Ukraine certainly hasn't helped. But I do think it's probably time to take a proper look at the capacity market and see why exactly haven't we got the generation that we contracted for. And is it time to maybe take a look at redesigning at least part of the market? But in the meantime, we still have to get through this winter. And the reality is, as long as we don't have the supply that we expected to have or wanted to have, then we may have to look at the demand side to essentially reduce their demand, particularly at peak times, because when you've got everything turned on full whack, and you still have more demand than you can supply, then at that point, the only option left is to reduce demand.
Now, reducing demand can be done in a number of ways. I mean, there are ways of shedding load. I learned only recently that, for instance, deep freezes, which would be deep freeze storage for beef or whatever, they can be switched off. They have a demand for power, obviously, but they don't suffer any consequences maybe for a couple of hours being out. So that's one way in which EirGrid will actually shed load. They will take power from people who are not going to be particularly affected in the short term. So that gets you over the hump of maybe a generator going out and it taking 20 minutes to fire up another one or whatever it might be. But if you're shedding load more broadly, does it mean blackouts for you and me?
Yeah, I mean, In the absolute last, the absolute last resort is just a kind of an unscheduled blackout for consumers. But like you say, there are all sorts of demand side schemes in the meantime. So there are the likes of refrigeration units, like you said, wastewater treatment plants. There are a lot of industrial applications that can turn off their demand for a little bit and not necessarily suffer any consequences. Even electric heating. It is possible to turn it off and still maintain the required temperature just because the room hangs on to the heat that little bit longer. So the first step obviously is these sort of voluntary demand schemes, and we might look to try to incentivize more people to enter into voluntary demand schemes. And then, yes, the absolute last resort is we involuntarily shed some demand. Now, the fact that we're having a system alert, that doesn't mean that we're at that point. A system alert just means we don't have as much in reserve as we would generally like. It's only when we have absolutely nothing in reserve that we're talking about blackouts. So we're not there yet.
Yeah, but the problem is if a gas generator then goes offline because of a technical fault, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, these things, it's hardly ever one thing at a time. It's usually there was higher than expected demand. Maybe there was a big football match on or something and everyone was watching the TV and you've got no wind and a unit trips or the interconnector blows or something like that. It's nearly always several things happen together that triggers those kind of events, and they are by nature completely unpredictable.
Okay, now there are a number of ways that you can kind of systemically cut demand, and that would be, for example, a solar PV on the roofs of all newly constructed houses, high quality insulation, and then retrofitting. I mean, if we did that efficiently, and it will take time, there's no question, but you could accelerate the program, by how much could we lower our demand in, you know, a period of a year, for example, by retrofitting and extra fitting solar and all the rest of it?
Yeah, so retrofitting houses is a fantastic measure. It really does reduce energy demand, but it doesn't so much reduce electricity demand. And the reason for that is because most of the heating in Ireland is not provided by electricity. So if we were to massively accelerate the retrofit program, it certainly would reduce gas demand, oil demand, it would reduce our emissions. That's all great, but it wouldn't have a huge impact on the electricity sector itself.
Okay, but for instance, solar on the roof that heats your water in the immersion, that would help.
Yes, exactly. So then the other side of things is more supply. So that would be kind of solar PV, solar thermal, and then indeed just more renewable electricity as well. All of those things can help for sure. But I think the thing about electricity is it's not just about the amount of energy, it's also about when we consume that energy. So one of the things that we could really try to look at more is just shifting people away from peak demand. So the number of households with a smart meter who've taken up a smart contract is actually very low. Now, that doesn't at all surprise me, because we know that people aren't particularly active about switching even supplier, let alone switching contract. But it would now might be the time for people to consider if they have a smart meter, maybe they should go onto a smart tariff. And what that means is that they will be rewarded for reducing their electricity consumption at the peak. So kind of between 5 and 7 o'clock, particularly in winter. I mean, your solar panels won't be doing much between 5 and 7 o'clock in the winter.
And one of the issues, of course, is we are always told by electricity safety experts, do not run your washing machine, do not run your dishwasher late at night when you're all going to bed, because there's the danger of fire. Now, these fires are infrequent, but the danger is there. So you've got two conflicting urges. One is to save money by running your dishwasher at midnight, and the other is, oh God, if it goes on fire, we're bunched.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an electrical or an electronic engineer. My understanding is that the newer appliances are actually quite safe. So I'm not sure how much of a concern that is. But even kind of pushing it to maybe 9 o'clock instead of putting the dishwasher on straight after dinner, wait until 9 o'clock and then it'll be finished by the time you go to bed. Even that can make a huge difference if we can just shave that peak a little bit.
Okay.
So if you are nervous about waiting until 11 or 12 o'clock when you're in bed, maybe just an hour or two later could help.
Now, you might be interested to know an amber alert has been issued on the electricity market for the second day in a row. And that is, as you know, when there's a threat to the supply of electricity, a generation shortfall. shortfall in Ireland, according to the single electricity market operator, SEMO. People wanting to know on the text screen, what is the website I'm looking at? Well, I'm looking at smartgrid.com, all one word, smartgrid.com/#all#demand. But if you go into the AirGrid smart dashboard, you will find that app, and it's very, very interesting. Some more of the comments. Could an increase in population be adding to the problem? Of course. We need hydrogen windmills off the West Coast as quickly as possible. Quickly does not mean very quickly in the case of planning and construction. Why doesn't the government increase the grant for solar panels? If every house in Ireland had at least two solar panels, it would solve many of the problems. I'm sure all local authority new builds will have them, but my most privately owned homes cannot afford them. That's from Catherine, and lots more where that came from. And of course, with more and more people charging electric cars, the problem is you're told to charge them at night. Solar doesn't work at night unless you have a battery, and batteries are hugely expensive, and the payback time is very, very long on the batteries. So until battery prices come down, it may not make economic sense for ordinary householders. Anyway, Muireann, thank you very much for joining us. Muireann Lynch is Senior Research Officer at the ESRI.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.